It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
4 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. We're on in Northern Nevada and Reno and Sparks and beyond. Office for Battleborn in the area, 766-1400. That's a call from anywhere in the state of Nevada, number 775 in the north, and then four offices here in Southern Nevada, including where we do our shows oftentimes on Wednesdays at the Battleborn Broadcast Center. So we're getting ready for Knicks and Pacers. We'll see if the Knicks can stay alive. Narratives around the NBA are very much star-driven. We have to beat up on the stars. When they lose, they take the brunt of the abuse. Oddly, when they win, we still try to find negative angles on SGA and Halliburton, which is very, very weird. But I want to get into the LA scene a little more on the reaction from Clippers fans and Clippers media as they watch SGA now advance to the finals. On the heels of winning the MVP. He was a Clipper. He was drafted by the Clippers. And we want to get into the Dodgers a little bit as well. Grant Mona is with us from the Sporting Tribune. What's up, Grant?
How you guys doing? Good to hear from you, Steve.
We're good, man. A lot to get into. And I want to get to the Rams are one of many training camps that have opened up here. A little more activity because Raiders were kind of one of about three organizations that was working in OTAs. So we'll get to the Rams in 5 minutes. First of all, you covered a lot of basketball this year. You watched the Western Conference very closely. I saw last night your Sporting Tribune show, Sporting Trib Live, and you called what OKC did in this series a masterclass. Why?
The defense. The defense has been obviously great all year, but I think what they did to Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle, just loading up on those guys, not letting them do really anything they did in the first two rounds. You know, that Lakers series, Randle had his way. The Minnesota Golden State series, Randle had his way. Anthony Edwards had a couple big second halves, but, you know, it really wasn't a full body of work. And the Thunder just said, we're not letting any of that happen. Now, game three obviously was a disaster for OKC. Minnesota just went on a huge run and kind of took them out of the game. But outside of that, it was basically just Anthony Edwards not being a factor, Julius Randle not really being a factor, and it's because of guys like Alex Caruso. It's because of guys like Chet Holmgren who stepped it up defensively. There are just so many different players that you can look at and say, this can be an all-NBA defender. Lou Dort's an all-NBA defender. Alex Caruso is for a reason.
Boy, the internet's today at Lotus Broadcasting. Hey, Griffin giving the clap as well. We'll get Grant back going here in just a second. I do want to get into that angle that I've been throwing at everyone. We started with CT. On what OKC, and I think we have Grant back, what OKC doing this is going to do for the NBA in the coming off seasons. Grant, you back with us?
I think so.
Yeah, you're back with us.
You guys hear me?
Yep. All right. So I've been asking folks on the show about what we're seeing from the Knicks, they can't play D. What we're seeing from OKC, they play awesome defense. I wonder if there's going to be a little reorganizing mentally by a lot of the squads, especially at the higher end, to look at who may win the title here in Oklahoma City if they take out the Pacers and go, man, you know what? The days of loading up on offense and maybe not worrying about our defense so much, that has to change because these guys could be the guys. You better be able to defend them. I wonder how it changes building teams and drafting.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how much of that you guys got, but essentially my point was is that defense still wins, guys. Like, defense is still a big prevalent part of the NBA. And, you know, we had this kind of offensive renaissance with Steph Curry and the Warriors when they kind of changed the way the game is played. James Harden was a big part of that. Now we're kind of seeing physicality and two bigs and centers and guys that are long and can defend. That is coming back. That is making its way back to the NBA because as offense progresses, as guys get better offensively, as guys like Shea and Anthony Edwards and Jokic and all these guys, as their offense grows and they're able to do more things, defenses are going to have to become better at that. You're going to have more defensive personnel to withstand that. So that's why you're seeing a lot of these top defensive teams. I think there's a stat where teams that are top 10 or top 12 in defensive rating are usually the ones that win the championships. You never really see a team that's 15th or 18th or 20th in defense, but really good on offense win the championship anymore. So I think there is a philosophy change for two reasons. One, because of, like I said, the offensive part of the game growing, but also the new CBA. Like, you got to kind of find diamonds in the rough through the draft and guys that are kind of like ready-made players out of the draft.
And people don't like to talk about defense, especially a lot of the high-level media folks, and I'm part of the media, but I understand it. Offense sells. I can tell you from covering a lot more college basketball than NBA. College basketball consistently over the last 20 years to win a title. If you look at numbers like KenPom, the teams that win titles are generally somewhere inside the top 40 offensively and defensively. Yeah. You gotta have it both. You know, another guy who doesn't get a lot of attention, who actually technically went in the deal that OKC sent Paul George to LA and got SGA is. You know, in the case of Williams, this has been an amazing story. Like, giving someone the picks, you got to nail it with the picks. And I find his story fascinating. He's not a Southern California guy, but he was reared in college in California in the West Coast Conference. Like, his story's pretty amazing. They used one of the picks from the Clippers to get Jalen Williams, but he's a guy who basically was overlooked in high school and then again in college.
Yeah, and, you know, that just goes to show, like, the Thunder development, like, finding – I mentioned this in our show last night, is that Sam Presti deserves a ton of credit for not just, like, the teams that he's put together, but, like, finding the right players to go around his superstars, right? They put good teams around Kevin Durant when they really didn't have that many assets. They put good teams around Paul George and Russell Westbrook. Obviously, that didn't pan out, and none of them really have so far. That team that went to the finals in 2012, they had a pretty good supporting cast, and now you're seeing it with this new version of the Thunder, where it's not really guys they signed. It's guys they drafted and developed and let them have the time. Two lottery drafts. Like, in 2022, 2023, they were in the lottery. They were one of the worst teams in the league, and now they're in the finals. That just goes to show not just, like, the development staff, but Sam Presti finding the right draft picks, because we've seen a lot of teams blow draft picks over the years.
The other storyline that is developing, and I wish more people would talk about this one as well, we're going away from big threes. We're seeing the result of it. You mentioned Presti. The basketball decisions need to be made by the basketball management, by GMs and others, not by LeBron James, not by the star of your organization. Your job is to play. We'll take your advice, but we do the work during the year. We know how to put the team together. And I think a great point that we need to make more often is the Lakers won a title, and then all of a sudden that team got fractured and went elsewhere, and Al Caruso is one of the guys who's probably going to win a ring. And you look at the Lakers now, and you're like, they can't play defense. Well,
that's a big part of it. And I said this, I think you were one of the ones that saw it, where it's like Alex Caruso's taking the Derek Fisher route, where the Lakers were kind of, he won a championship with the Lakers, and I know that Derek Fisher won multiple titles for over a course of a decade almost, but Alex Caruso went from the Lakers, and then he went to the Bulls, obviously not a team that's going to be in contention, then to help this young OKC team, and that's exactly what Derek Fisher did. Now, Derek Fisher didn't win a championship with OKC, but that was the route that he took, and you are exactly right. We're starting to see teams not really focus on what the star wants, because they're going to want all the best players. You're going to start to see teams say, listen, this is my decision. This is the GM's decision. I don't care what the star player has to say. I don't care what Clutch has to say, what Rich Paul has to say. We're going to draft the player that we want. We're going to get the player that we want.
Let's talk a little SoCal baseball for a second. Grant Mona, Sporting Tribune, thesportingtribune.com, at Sporting Trib up on Twitter. We kind of nailed it weeks in advance with the Dodgers. So much young talent, so many guys coming off the DL. Someone was going to have to go. CT3 goes. Chris Taylor, a world champion. I was very fascinated by the fact that the Angels scooped him right up, and I think a lot of it is, and you know, I think this is why Chris Taylor has value, is positional flexibility. Their defense is terrible, and he went right into the lineup, and he's playing center field. Who knows where else he's going to play, but he's going to help him.
Yeah, and you know, I just think that it wasn't the right fit for the Dodgers. The Dodgers are a team that is already stacked. I think we all know that. Why would they need another guy that's making $17, $18 million sitting on the bench? Like, yes, Chris Taylor has been a big part of what the Dodgers have done over the past decade or whatever, however long he's been there. But they are trying to move into a new era where they have awesome prospects and the amount of money that they can spend to get guys. Hyesung Kim has been good. He can be a good piece for the Angels because they need defensive help. They need veteran presences for their young core, which I think is actually really good with Neto and Ohapi. But outside of that, they need guys that have won and can show some of the younger guys how to play and show Joe Adell how to play outfield, right? So I think it's a good pickup for the Angels, and it's good for his career. Like, try to have a resurgence in Anaheim. He doesn't have to move very far. I know the traffic's going to be bad because he probably lives more near L.A., but he doesn't have to move that far, and he could still play in SoCal and have his family here and still contribute to a team that's trying to do something.
Rams training camp is open. They push back, or they're a little later than the Raiders, so 2 days ago, yesterday, and tomorrow for the Rams in Woodland Hills, right in your neck of the woods there in the Valley. Some of the biggest stories involve a guy who's new to the team, also a guy who was with the team, could come back with the team. First of all, Jalen Ramsey, June 1st is coming. Dolphins can move him. They save a bunch of money. Do you think the Rams will get him? Can they beat out maybe the Raiders, maybe the Falcons, some other teams? Do they want him?
I think one of the biggest reasons, Steve, for them not taking a corner in the draft, which I think it might have been a bad move regardless, was that they knew that they were going to gear up for a Jalen Ramsey trade again. Now, the Rams have some cap space now still because Matthew Stafford restructured his contract to kind of allow that. There are still some cap issues that they have to work with, but with the Rams now in a position where they're in win-now mode, they're no longer in let's retool and get our draft picks and be under the cap and all this stuff. They are now saying we want to go for it. That's why they signed Davante Adams. That's why they're going all in probably on this Jalen Ramsey trade, is because they have a weakness at corner. The Eagles had a strength at corner, which is one of the reasons why they won the Super Bowl. And the Rams know that. And they know they're going to have to go up against the NFC champions and the Super Bowl champions to get back to the Super Bowl. And I think they're going to go full on to get Jalen Ramsey. And I think, honestly, it's a great fit because Chris Shula coached him when Jalen Ramsey was here. Obviously, he wasn't the defensive coordinator, but he has some familiarity with the system already, and it would be a perfect fit. Regardless of what Jalen Ramsey is right now, he's an upgrade over what they had last year.
The other big story in camp, and I thought it was a great move, and I'm not the biggest Davante Adams fan, kind of temperamental at times, even gets kind of mean at home with the taco guy. He, when he's happy, and happy means get me the ball a bunch, just throw me 140 targets so I can get my 100 catches. This is a perfect match. We only have about 45 seconds left, but Adams, I assume, is really happy now to be with adults, with a good organization, with Matt Stafford.
Yeah, I think he's going to understand that the Rams have an awesome elite organization. When you have professionalism in the organization, it helps the player. You kind of mold to that situation, and he's going to get plenty of targets in the red zone alongside Puka Nacua. So you now have a 1-2 duo at the top for Matthew Stafford, who I still feel like is a top 10 quarterback in the league. So I'm pretty excited about it.
And, you know, from an attitude standpoint, Stafford showed he and Kelly did. They want to be there, right? Because they got bigger offers. Yep. Raiders and the Giants reportedly both said, hey, $100 million, I don't know if all of it was guaranteed, but probably $80 million was guaranteed, and he passed on money. Kelly did. I think she's, you know, a big part of the decision. Right. They got a guy who wants to be there.
Right. Exactly.
Best thing going.
I think so, yeah.
All right, Grant, what's coming up? You have any idea what's going on tonight for Sporting Tribune Live?
Oh, we're going to react to all this NBA Conference Finals stuff. Hopefully we have an NBA Finals to talk about. We have one part of it, but we'll see.
All right, Grant. We appreciate it, buddy.
All right, thanks so much, guys.
TheSportingTribune.com. Also, Grant can be found on SI as their SoCal NBA insider. On the way back, what a shocker, right? Stephon Diggs, what's that pink stuff in the bag? Oh, the freaking media in New England, all ready to back him up.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Getting ready for Pacers and Knicks. That tip is shortly after 5 o'clock. WNBA, two games underway. Kind of a break week for the Aces. They'll be back on Friday. We've been giving away tickets all week long and qualifying people for the Asia Wilson A1s giveaway. Games today, Liberty defending champ up 4, about a minute in. Check that. About a minute left in the first quarter, 18-14 against Golden State. And then Paige Beckers, and Dallas on the road against Angel Reese and the Sky. The Sky have stunk so far. Becker's team hasn't been much better. They finally got their first win, but those two teams combined 1-8. So that's coming up in just a little bit. We're going to get into the A's and Major League Baseball in a couple of different spots. We're going to talk to Chuck Esposito from the from STN and also the TI Sportsbook. We'll get into some baseball futures, and then Matt Nevert, voice of baseball here in Vegas, will join us in about 40 minutes. But, you know, we had a big story break over the weekend, and maybe it'll just disappear into the ether. My guess is the NFL, at a minimum, will have some kind of comment that they did an investigation on it. And the story is Stephon Diggs. So his OTAs are going on, and in all cases, until mandatory mini camps. And guys, there are some guys who will miss those too. But for the OTAs, they're voluntary. Players are going to miss. There's players all over the league, and we'll get to a couple who are missing, but players miss. Usually, 99.9% of the time, the absence is excused. I'm guessing yesterday when Stephon Diggs wasn't at Patriots OTAs, that it was excused for a good reason. I mean, the genesis of the reason is probably not that great. But if you missed the story, Stephon Diggs, Memorial Day weekend, is on some boat partying. His girlfriend, his new girlfriend, Cardi B, who we've seen at the both of them at some basketball games like Knicks games. And he's entertaining a trio of women. Then he opens up a little case, and then he's got some kind of bag of something. And boy, oh boy, the internet sleuths like immediately were like, whoa, okay. So first of all, they watched the video. They saw something that was weird there. So the NFL is very stringent on one most important thing. It's not player safety. Like deep down is the NFL like, oh my God, is he taking drugs? No, first concern is, oh my God, our public image. Like, wait, this looks really bad for us. Mm-hmm. So the video, like I said, appears to have him offering a small bag of something to at least one of the females that he was talking to. And my knowledge of the history of much of the media that covers the Patriots is they're very protective. All the stories along the way that had some sort of controversy or suggestion that things weren't cohesive, it can go as far back as just outright allegations of cheating by Belichick. Much of the New England media would kind of rally around the story. Hey, nothing to see here. Fake news. You know, they're jealous because they ain't us, or whatever. They hate us because they ain't us. That nonsense. And I will tell you, one of the lead dogs on that has always been Scott Zolak, who played a little bit of quarterback for the Patriots. Played his college football at Maryland. You know, former NFL player, but man, he loves his Patriots. And Michael Holly was doing a spot on 98.5, the sports hub, and they started talking about Diggs, who could be in trouble here. He certainly, I would think, going to get some sort of drug test. If it hasn't been done, it's going to be done soon. The look is not a good one for the league, not a good one for Diggs, who's recovering from ACL surgery. The tear was week 8 of last year. But here's a little Boston radios are like, whoa, 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 be careful. There's nothing to see here.
If you're the Patriots or the NFL, what can you do? You've got video of Stephon Diggs with an unidentified substance, one.
Yeah.
And then two, you don't have him doing anything with it.
That same thing about Belichick. What rules did he break?
Right.
Like,
but
you're right, though.
But I'm not trying to put a positive spin on it. I'm just saying that. Like, just from the perspective.
How do you take it further? Yeah.
Yeah. They'd say, all right, what were you doing?
If you showed me this picture, I would say, oh, it's Diggs and three girls on a boat. I don't know what that looks like there. What is that?
Well, you don't know, but somebody knows.
Scott Zolak, forever Patriots defender. Within a 2025 conversation about Stephon Diggs and suspicions that there was something on the drug front in the bag, Zolak's like, Belichick never had anything against him either. Like, Scott, he's gone. Why are we still bringing up Belichick as some victim of the NFL system of justice? But that is Scott Zolak. You looked at me, Griffin. You're a younger guy. We've been covering this Patriots up until the last 5 years dynasty with a fine-tooth comb. We know all the characters. Like I said, I watched Patriots media and especially sports talk radio, maybe not Michael Felger, who was always a guy, who was always a guy who would kind of push the envelope the other way, but we've watched them sort of rally around the Patriots. Do you know who Scott Zolak is?
I have a hunch, but I don't want to say it until we play this next, this next little bite.
So this is a classic, and there's nothing like ultimately wrong with this. This was him just going crazy, being super giddy on a big Brady play. He loves his Patriots.
It's leaping. He's got it. Touchdown, Patriots. Kendrell Perkins. Brady's back. That's your quarterback. Who left the building? Unicorns, show ponies. Where's the beef?
Like, Zolak, when the Patriots won Super Bowls, was inconsolable. Like, on the verge of tears, if not tears. He loves the Patriots. So this story, and listen, they're playing to some of the audience. There are hardcore devotees who don't want to hear anything bad about Stephon Diggs or the players. That's just who Scott Zolak is. But we had to go back in the archives of the Commodore 64 here. We keep everything.
Yeah.
Really, but we do have it. Just so you can hear how fired up he gets for the Patriots.
That voice, I got chills when we were just now listening to that. I think if I recall, he's the same guy. There's like this highlight video, Tom Brady. I used to like love watching when I was back in high school and college and working out. And it was highlights of Brady. And then I think it was Zolak's voice over the whole thing. He's going, "You can keep your Manning. I'll take my Brady."
Yeah. Oh, he loves him.
Amazing.
He loves the Patriots. He loves Tom Brady like he loves no other man. But, you know, the interesting thing on that bite from the Sports Hub is when Zolak's like, "I don't even know what's in that bag," and Michael Holly's like, "Some people do," and I've never heard of this stuff. I'm not a big drug user, some edibles here and there. First of all, people noticed immediately that there was some kind of pink substance in the bag, and you'd see internet threads where they're like, "What's that?" And immediately people had the answer. I've never heard of this stuff. Tusi? Is that what it's called?
I might just be too old. I've never heard of that.
Also known as pink cocaine. Says here, recreational drug typically found as pink dyed powder is a mix of ketamine, MDMA, and sometimes caffeine or methamphetamine. I mean, that sounds like a pretty hardcore mix. Here's a report on pink cocaine Tusi, which might have been in the bag that Diggs had, might not have been, right? But here's a report from a few years ago from Fox 5 in New York, as the vast research crew at Lotus does its work.
Tusi, better known as pink cocaine, is popping up in nightclubs from coast to coast.
And this week's episode is Lisa Evers finds out why this new drug is getting so popular.
It's a designer drug with a catchy name, pink cocaine, and it's turning up in more drug busts as well as in a lawsuit against Diddy. While the name of this mystery powder's color is accurate, drug experts say there's only a small amount, if any, of cocaine in it, and there's no way to know what other drugs and chemicals are inside.
Well, Lise, I just told you. Quick internet search. Now, that was from a couple years ago on Fox in New York. Someone else, again, this is all, you know, a lot of it's internet driven. Someone else did notice that they thought when Diggs was handing the bag out to a young lady, he quickly said, "Don't do all of it." Mm-hmm. So I listen, like I said yesterday, it could be like Goody's headache powder that was discolored. It was pink. Maybe they're branding pink headache powder. I don't know. Here's the other thing. I don't know if you saw the video/picture I sent over. AI can do anything now. Photoshop can do anything now. You can make a gang member out of someone by just using like typewritten letters and putting it on their knuckles. It can do anything. Including the photo I sent you was 50 Cent at a basketball game wearing a black t-shirt with nothing on it. And then another picture comes out that has him facing the camera and it says "Free Diddy" on the t-shirt. Jesus. That was not on the t-shirt. Nor would he have "Free Diddy" on his t-shirt. So could someone have jerked around with a video? Maybe. But to suggest, like Scott Zolak, like, "Nothing there. He's my wide receiver." There's something there. They're going to look into it. And I don't know you know, the NFL doesn't have like subpoena power. Like, hey, we're going to, who was that lady in the, get her to Goodell's office. The lady was wearing the bikini there. They were all wearing bikinis. Like, that's not going to happen, but they're going to look into it.
I mean, as
they, and they should,
they really should. There's the, you know, being the good little media member I am, I decided to go look around the internet for more of this boat trip of Diggs. I saw a couple more videos where it all lined up, the outfits they were wearing in that video, the girls, Cardi B sitting there. Cardi B, by the way, his girl was sitting there shaking some butt on another girl. She looked like she was just having just as much fun, if not more, than Diggs was.
That, like, sounds like a good party.
It was, but again, like, dude.
Just like when you're in the NFL, if you want to use illicit drugs and you're caught on camera and it's in your system and they test you, then your wide receiver slash savior coming off of ACL surgery may not be available for even longer than you thought.
This is a rough way to start this new era of the New England Patriots.
Coaches, I know, you just know they want to put their head through a friggin' wall when they get calls like this.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Cofield, Griffin on a Thursday, Cofield and Company. We're here in the Finley Toyota Studios this hour. Also on in Northern Nevada, it's brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. Got to dial 775 in the north for the office up there, and then four offices here in Southern Nevada. So we were just talking about OTAs, and yes, Stephon Diggs with his what looked like a bag of pink powder did miss OTAs yesterday. I assume excused absence. Others who missed, and in each market, this is, I guess, decent fodder. The Myles Garrett thing is, I guess, mildly interesting. I thought that the whole offseason deal with him demanding a trade, and then they ponied up big money to make him the highest paid player, push him in front of highest paid player on defense or defensive lineman, pushed him in front of our own Max Crosby here in Vegas, and then everything was good. I think that sticks in the minds of Browns fans and some Cleveland media. So Myles Garrett is not at voluntary OTAs, and the claim is by some, bro, you got your money, you're the team leader. What about being a true leader and showing up for your teammates? You got a problem?
I mean, name me another time Myles Garrett acted not like a very good leader. Name me one time he acted very selfish towards his team, the Cleveland Browns.
Well, I would say when he lost his mind, he swung a helmet at Mason Rudolph, although a lot of people have wanted to swing a helmet at Mason Rudolph. I will say, battle. If I played football and I was some behemoth and I felt like someone was saying something or I didn't like some action, I might do the same thing. But I'm also a lunatic. That could be branded as a selfish move. But in terms of putting in the work and being there for the Browns, he's done everything he should do, in spite of the fact the organization has done very little to surround him with greatness.
Exactly. A heat of the moment in the middle of a game against a rival in the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm not counting that as a dock towards him. And like you said, he, for the most part, he has been a stand-up member of this team. He, even though he made comments and said, you know, I'd need to have more for this team to be able to win and want to stay here, which ultimately led to them getting that contract extension, I mean, if you're a Browns fan, take a step back and realize, hey, this guy, he's literally our cornerstone. He's literally the only guy on our roster right now who is seen as like one of the faces of the league. Mm-hmm. So we got to take, like, come on.
Oh, I think a lot of Browns fans are with you. I was reading one write-up, you know, and this is a stir of the pot type write-up in Sight that was trying to get people worked up. They wrote, Myles Garrett's in Tokyo. That's why he's missing OTAs, voluntary OTAs. Myles Garrett's in Tokyo visiting shopping, apparently loving it so much, he suggested on his IG story that he might look for a house there. And that's fine, except Garrett this offseason was rewarded with a monster $205 million contract extension. Reward is not the right word. That's the going rate. He accepted it. He accepted their offer. He could have also said, no, I don't trust you. I want to win. We're never going to win here because you people are buffoons. And still stuck to his guns on the trade deal. I think most Browns fans, when they see something like this, are going to be like, who cares? He's a great player. No one wants to stay here. He signed up to be the guy. Thank you, Miles. Do what you want. It's voluntary.
Yeah, and yeah, you can't call that contract an award. What, do you know what his team awarded him with? A quarterback room of Joe Flacco, two rookies, and old small hands. Like, that's how he got rewarded for his loyalty to Cleveland.
Really stuck on Kenny Pickett. The man was born with small hands. What can he do?
Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
Okay,
yeah.
How about this one?
Mm-hmm.
Should the Buccaneers be annoyed with Hassan Reddick for not showing up? He had a protracted contract sit out with the Jets, wasn't that productive when he came back. Does he need to be around for voluntary OTAs to show that he's changed?
Not necessarily. I mean, I don't think the Bucs should be expecting him to pull another move like he did with the Jets. But then again, we got to kind of wait and see with these OTAs. I think, you know, the circumstances were different in New York. Wait to see what happens. Let's wait till like training camp or something.
Coming up, the latest line update on the Knicks and Pacers. Chuck Esposito will fill us in on where the action's going.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, let's find out what's going on behind the counter. Tomorrow we'll be at Treasure Island Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Running the TI book now is Chuck Esposito from STN. Lot to get to. Big game on the docket tonight. We'll see if the NBA Finals are set or if we have more of the ECF. Chuck, what's going on, buddy? It's Steve Cofield.
All good, Steve. Just as you mentioned, a lot going on. You know, NBA, NHL playoffs, baseball in full swing. Kind of wondering if we're going to get a gap between the start of the finals in both the NBA and NHL or if there's going to be a few more games over the next few days.
Okay, give me your gut feeling and tell me what people are betting. What are bettors feeling right now about the Knicks keeping this series going against the Pacers?
It's kind of a strange game. I mean, we opened the game 5. The initial push was down all the way to 4, but now it started to creep back up again. Just looking at the ticket count and some of the larger wagers that have come in, betting public thinks that the Knicks are going to push this to another game. But that's kind of where we stand right now. I kind of agree at this point. I think you're in the Garden. They haven't played well in the postseason there. I think it's a big opportunity for them to get to that point, win this game. No, they only have to win one more game on the road to potentially get to a game 7 at home. So I think we're going to be Pacer fans when the game kicks off or tips off in about 20 or 30 minutes.
Say this one does end, you know, then it's time to – we can do it whether or not it ends or not. But we start looking ahead to the Knicks in the offseason. What's your thought on what you've seen? Is this a matchup deal or is this a Knicks issue that they have to fix? When you're getting ready to set the board for the title next year, do you put any serious consideration to the Knicks? I know you have to balance the betting. People are going to bet it. But what do you think of the Knicks and the way they defended in this thing? Can they win a title?
I think they can. I thought going into it that they could. It's hard when you talk about the NBA or NHL offseason at this point because there's potential for so much movement in free agency and maybe a couple of big name guys that could get dealt. I think as their team stays as it is right now, no, I don't think they're as talented as some of the top teams in the East. However, depending on what happens in the offseason, I think they definitely would have a shot at it. But I think this is a big game for them to win. They lose here, and I'm not really sure where they go at this point. I think it was somewhat of a matchup, but I think people thought that, hey, they're going to walk through this team, and they just didn't do it. And once they kind of lost those two first home games, I think it just kind of – the wheels came off at that point, Steve.
When you do set the NBA title odds for next year – moves won't start happening until July 1st and, you know, over those first couple of weeks of July. But you guys may have the odds up before that. How much do you build in the Derby for Giannis? Does, like, everyone who could possibly get him, you'd have to build that into their number so we could go out to the book and, you know, we're thinking, hey, maybe the Knicks are going to be, like, 15-1 for the title. But, hey, if that's one of the 6 spots Giannis wants to go to, then guess what? We gotta book him at, like, 11 or 10.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I mean, he's definitely going to be the big fish or the big carrot out there. And, you know, we're in an information you know, world right now. So we're going to have to really stay on top of it and pay attention to what we're hearing and seeing out there, because we know the bettors are getting it in real time as well. So it is a little bit difficult when you've got a big name guy out there that could easily change the dynamic of a team, a division, a conference, and maybe the future book odds across the board. So it would be something we would take into consideration for the teams that we believe he is rumored to potentially going to.
WNBA, we know what a popular bet Caitlin Clark is for individual awards, how it affects the Fever betting. She's down for a while. What was the action like yesterday? Because I know the Fever were favored. They wound up losing to the Mystics. Are you seeing people come in and go, you know what, we think this team might be very average without Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when she's playing, just the amount of props on the game and the interest in the games that she plays, it's much different than the games that she doesn't play. So I would say, answer your question, yes. I mean, she's been polarizing for that league. I think there's a bunch of young, talented stars in there. If it's Kiki, if it's Paige Bruckers, if it's, you know, some of the girls that came in last year as well that are so good, it's really transformed the league. We see an uptick in handle every single, you know, week now in the sport. But, of course, when you've got a player like Caitlin Clark that's not playing, it's definitely going to affect the odds or the kind of handle across the board, not only on that game, but other WNBA games that might be tied to it as well.
Cofield & Company's live at TI tomorrow, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Running the book, STN and Chuck Esposito. So every week we have you on, I want to do a little exercise getting ready for the season. It's never too soon to start talking NFL. We'll look at a top team on the win total board and a team towards the bottom. So we'll go to the top and we'll go to the bottom first. One of the top teams is the Bills. Are you seeing some action? What's the number that you have for Buffalo?
Yeah, we have it right where, you know, we kind of looked at it 11.5. I think you look at a Bills team that's the favorite in every game this year, the only team that's the favorite. I look at their division. I think the Patriots are going to be improved. Major question marks to me with the Jets and Dolphins. Do I think that number is attainable? I do. I think, you know, they've got a quarterback that's really talented that hasn't won it yet. I think it's a Bills team that's scary. Scary good, I should say. And they lost a big game on primetime last year at Baltimore. They actually opened in a primetime game this year at home against Baltimore. So I think week one might easily set the stage for what the Bills are going to be in 2025.
At the bottom are the Browns at 4.5 wins. And we're going to start seeing the chatter. I already heard it today on our sister station. Colin Cowherd was talking about, hey, I've seen what I needed to see. Shedeur Sanders needs to start. I got to tell you, if I'm an underplayer on Cleveland, I kind of like that, because if Shedeur's playing early, he's going to play for a while. And if he's not good and they're not good, there's going to be some losses there. So the bettors looking at the Browns, are they bullish on them? How are they handling it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's hard to start in week one. You look at them right now, they're under a touchdown dog to the Bengals. Bengals have been a slow starter the last couple of years. Cleveland is at home. It's a divisional game. My guess is that number's going to tick up, and you will see some sixes out there well before the season starts. But it's hard for me to go under 4.5 wins for any team. And I think if it's Flacco, I would lean toward the over. If it's Sanders, I would lean toward the under.
About a third of the season gone now with Major League Baseball. Let's look at some of the awards markets. First, AL Rookie of the Year, I think, is still very wide open. Wilson for the A's is a good player, but, you know, he's not going to put up 20-85, like dominating homer and RBI numbers. Good average. He's a pretty big favorite. I looked at the rest of the group, and I'm like, you know, all these guys could take off. And what are you looking at in terms of action? And do you think, you know, Wilson is – no one's a safe play at 230, whatever the odds are. A third into the season for Rookie of the Year?
No, I agree with you, but when you look at a guy that's hitting 353, yeah, has 7 home runs, 30 RBIs, 30 runs scored, I don't think anybody else is kind of close right now. I think Warren, with, you know, of late, has pitched so much better, and the strikeout numbers are there, but it's hard. It'd be hard for me to invest in somebody right now unless you have value there. I would say there's some value with Warren. There's not that value with Wilson, but in my opinion, Wilson is an overwhelming favorite right now.
So I would put plays in. I don't know if you have the numbers up for Kurtz with the A's, and then this Caglione kid who the Royals are going to wait a little longer, but they're both guys who could maybe go out and in, you know, whatever, two-thirds of a season, Kurtz is already up, put up like 18-65 and compete with them. Are you getting action on guys like that?
We don't have it up right now for guys like that, Steve, but I know Caglione is tearing it up at the AAA level, and my guess is that, you know, it, once he does come up, he's going to be somebody that if he has success there early on, I think things are going to change. I mean, I even look at the National League. I mean, you look at a guy like Matt Shaw with the Cubs who started off really struggled, got sent down, made some tweaks, has come back and has been a totally different ball player now, not only defensively, but getting key hits, stealing bases. So it's hard to judge when a guy's first up at for a very short period of time, but I think there's going to be some value in some of these other guys in both the National and American League in the second half of the season.
The MVP markers are amazing. The AL, I mean, Judge is way the hell out there, and yet you probably can't bet it. I would think basically you're betting that he's either going to go into an incredible slump or he gets hurt. And that's why I couldn't bet Judge as a massive favorite. And Shohei's not as big. I think the NL can be competitive. How are the markets looking for AL and NL?
Well, you're right about the American League. I think it's tough to bet Judge as an overwhelming favorite right now just because of the price. I think there's value. I mean, I love what Torkelson has done. He's having a great season. But I'm looking at the National League and the one guy's odds that keep dropping. I think it's more like, you know, PC A is just unbelievable. It's almost like MVP right now is what I'm hearing.
30-30.
The way he's playing for the Cubs. Only guy with 15 home runs, 15 stolen bases, kind of a polarizing defensive player as well. No value on him right now, but there sure was a few weeks ago.
Okay, so you got to tell me the every once in a while someone gets that lottery ticket and gets us all fired up. Did you have did Palace Station get hit with a baseball 11 teamer?
Yeah, we love it. You know, I applaud the guests when we have it hit. Have these hit all the time in all different sports, and I applaud the guests. You know, when they hit a parlay like this for a small investment and it's a lottery ticket, hats off. I mean, that's an awesome thing to accomplish. But you definitely see it when you can go up to the 12 teamers on the app. I mean, you definitely see some of these big parlays that are hit. And again, I want to applaud the guests for hitting this parlay.
So Treasure Island, free parking, that's unheard of on the Strip. You go in, you can get your STN app, you can sit there at the Golden Circle, watch the games, 55 plus TVs. Sign up for the app. When they sign up, Chuck, what are they getting?
Yeah, they not only can they sit out in the book, they can be in any restaurant, they can be in their room, they can be out by the pool with this beautiful weather, up to a $50 no-worry wager right now. So if you want to bet up to $50, if your team wins, great. If they lose, we're going to give you that $50 back. And just the features that are on the app right now, there's so many different props in all the sports, and it really does, Steve, as you mentioned, it brings the sports book to you. So there's so many things to do this time of year out at Vegas, and again, you're sitting in the cabana, you're enjoying out by the pool, you want to make a bet, you just whip out your mobile device, and hey, you log into your STN Sports account, and you've got everything right at your fingertips.
Chuck, appreciate it. You're not getting an early start to the weekend, but we're not talking to you on the normal Friday, so I will talk to you next week. Enjoy the next couple of days.
All right. Sounds great, Steve. Thanks. You
there
too.
There it is. Chuck Esposito running the book at the TI, STN, new inside Treasure Island. We'll be there tomorrow from 3 until 6 o'clock. I'm looking forward to seeing what the atmosphere is for the game. I will say, going back to baseball last year in the World Series, Dodger Stadium, Ice Cube, hip-hop, rapping, good move. Yankees bringing out Fat Joe, who was never that good and stinks now, and I don't know what he's doing. He was awful. Pat McAfee in Indiana, great intro, wrestling-like, apparently insulted some of the celebrities, which, my Lord, we'll get to that one. Knicks, you don't need to do the same. Okay? We don't need an intro from a celebrity. You don't have to match what McAfee was doing. Don't try it. And I'm not saying, like, McAfee's untouchable. Here's the thing. When you're at the self-anointed or dubbed Mecca, and you're the Knicks, and you've got all these celebrities, Griffin, you know what you don't do when someone in little Indy tweaks you a little bit? You don't. What's the move, right? I haven't used it in a while. Let me start punching down.
We don't
punch down. We don't punch down on Cofield and Company, although we do sometimes.
Just sometimes.
But for the Knicks organization, don't play the game. You're New York. Stay cool. Apparently, Ben Stiller's all mad, though. So watch. Maybe Ben Stiller tonight's going to jump out of the stands and go after a Pacers player. We'll get to it. Just ridiculous. Just stupid. Babies!